Welcome to the Simple Bible Course. My name is Josh Watson, and this is Session 14, The Divided Kingdom. Last time we looked at King Solomon, the last king of all 12 tribes of Israel. As you know, after Moses died in the wilderness and Joshua died in the Promised Land, the Israelites then had a series of leaders called judges. These judges were men raised up by God to lead the Israelites before they had a king. And there were six major judges. Then, after the judges, a man named Samuel was born, who became Israel's first prophet. He then anointed Saul as Israel's first king, and after him, David as Israel's second king. And when David's life and rule was about to come to an end, David anointed his son Solomon as Israel's third king. The significance of Solomon's reign as king, however, which we covered in last session, was that he was the last king of a united kingdom, that is, of all 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Once King Solomon died, the kingdom of Israel divided into two parts, and that's what we're going to look at today, the divided kingdom. If you remember, at the end of King Solomon's life, his servant Jeroboam was approached by a prophet and told that he would take over as king over 10 of the tribes of Israel. The reason for this was because King Solomon had turned away from God and married many foreign women who led him astray to participate in all kinds of idol worship. Therefore, as a punishment, God said that once Solomon died, the kingdom would be taken out of his family and given to someone else. However, a portion of the kingdom would remain with his son because of God's promise to Solomon's father, David. God had promised to David that the kingdom would always remain in his family and that one of his descendants would rule over Israel forever. This is what is known as the Davidic covenant, covenant between God and David. Now, once Solomon heard about what the prophet told Jeroboam, Jeroboam then fled from Israel and went to Egypt to stay there until Solomon died. And this is where we pick up the story. King Solomon eventually died, and so Jeroboam returned back from Egypt to Israel, while the nation of Israel crowned Solomon's son, Rehoboam, as their new king. However, it didn't stay that way long. Jeroboam and a group representing the people of Israel approached Rehoboam, the new king, Solomon's son, with a request. They said, "Rehoboam, your father Solomon was very hard on us, and it was quite difficult to serve him when he was king. Therefore, we would appreciate it if you would go a little easier on us and not demand as much as he did. And if you grant us this request of ours, we'll be very grateful and we will serve you gladly." That was the request brought to Solomon's son Rehoboam, the new king, from the people of Israel who were being led by Jeroboam. King Rehoboam told them that he would think about their request and get back to them within 3 days. Well, in those 3 days, Rehoboam sought some advice and counsel on the matter. First, he went to the elders who served on the council during the reign of his father Solomon. And when they heard the request, they thought it was reasonable. And they advised Rehoboam to listen to the people, go easier on them, because if he did, they would definitely serve him gladly. Rehoboam decided to get a second opinion. This time he went to his friends, the guys he grew up with, and told them about the request and asked for their advice. This time, however, the advice was completely different. They told Rehoboam that he needed to go back to the people and tell them, "You think my father was tough on you? You haven't seen nothing yet. My power and my rule will be far greater than his, and you will fear me more than you ever did him. He punished you with whips. I'm going to punish you with scorpions." Well, turns out Rehoboam liked his friend's advice the best, and so he went back to the people after 3 days and told them exactly what his friends told him to say. To which they replied, "Well, forget you then. We didn't want you as our king anyway. Have fun with the tribe of Judah, because none of us recognize you as our king. Goodbye." And they just left. So all of a sudden, Rehoboam lost almost the entire nation of Israel and was left with just one tribe, the tribe of Judah. So, just like the prophet had foretold to Jeroboam, Jeroboam was then made king by 10 of the tribes of Israel after that incident with Rehoboam. These were the northern 10 tribes of Israel, and this kingdom that Jeroboam became king over was called Israel. Rehoboam, on the other hand, was left with only one tribe, the tribe of Judah in the south. This southern kingdom, ruled by Solomon's son Rehoboam, was from that point on called the kingdom of Judah. Now, you might be wondering once again why there are only 11 tribes accounted for. Like I said, the tribe of Levi didn't have their own land, but were dispersed throughout Israel, and therefore you couldn't say that either of the kingdoms ruled over that tribe. But a better way to look at it is this. Jacob's 11th son, Joseph, was divided into two tribes and named after his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So you have 12 tribes that have land, with 10 of the tribes belonging to the northern kingdom of Israel, ruled by Jeroboam. One tribe, the tribe of Judah, belonged to the southern kingdom of Judah and was ruled by Rehoboam. This left only the tribe of Benjamin, which was divided. Part of it was in Judah, the other part was in Israel. So you could either say Israel had 10 full tribes and Judah had one full tribe, or you could say Israel had 10 and a half tribes and Judah had one and a half. And like I mentioned, the nation of Israel remained a divided kingdom from this point on. Two separate kingdoms with two separate kings. The capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel was the city of Samaria, not to be confused with the region of Samaria, which you read about in the New Testament. And the capital city of the southern kingdom of Judah was Jerusalem. In the northern kingdom, the crown changed families many times. Over the course of 209 years, there was a total of about 20 kings in the northern kingdom, and many different families were involved in ruling the kingdom of Israel in the north. In the southern kingdom, however, the crown didn't change families at all. Over the course of 345 years, there was also a total of 20 kings, but they were all from the family and line of David. Once again, this was because of God's promise to David that the kingdom would always remain in his family and that one of his descendants would rule Israel forever. So the southern kingdom of Judah was David's kingdom. So then what happened? What happened after 209 years for the northern kingdom and 345 years for the southern kingdom? Well, once again, the Israelites turned away from the Lord, worshiped idols, and decided to live however they wanted, not obeying God's commands. And because God is always patient, he sent a number of prophets for many years to both kingdoms, both Israel and Judah, in order to turn them back to him and to warn them of a coming punishment if they didn't. Nevertheless, the Israelites continued to live wickedly and just ignore the message of the prophets. For many years, the prophets foretold of a coming Messiah who would be Savior and King of Israel, but the prophets also warned the kingdoms of Israel and Judah repeatedly that they would be defeated and taken away as captives if they didn't turn back to God. And because they didn't listen to the warnings, that's exactly what happened. The northern kingdom of Israel was the first to go. After 209 years from the time Jeroboam took over as king, and after a total of 20 kings, the northern kingdom of Israel had become so wicked that God decided it was time to bring about the punishment he promised and remove those 10 tribes from the land of Israel. At that time, the Assyrian army was in power and was successfully defeating every nation in its path. And so in 722 BC, Assyria attacked the kingdom of Israel and defeated them easily and took them as captives back to Assyria. Assyria then settled some of its own people there in that land, the northern part of Israel. Assyria then tried to attack and defeat the southern kingdom of Judah as well, but fortunately for Judah, they had a king at that time that feared and believed in God. That man's name was Hezekiah. And so when Assyria came to attack them, King Hezekiah cried out to God for help. And so God sent an angel into the camp of the Assyrians and killed 185,000 of their soldiers. As you can imagine, that seriously depleted their forces. And so whoever was still living headed back home. So now you just have the southern kingdom of Judah remaining in the promised land of Israel. However, they would soon turn away from God as well. And so a little over 100 years later, after many warnings from a number of different prophets sent by God, God finally sent a nation to come up against Judah, defeat them, and take them away from their land as captives as well. That nation that God sent this time was Babylon during the great Babylonian Empire. What happened was Babylon had grown into such a powerful nation at that time that they eventually attacked and defeated Assyria and took over as the ruling empire of the world. Once this happened, they eventually decided to come against the kingdom of Judah and attack them. Of course, this was according to God's plan because Judah had also turned away from God and was living wickedly. And so through a series of three major attacks, Babylon was able to conquer all of Judah and lead them away as captives to the land of Babylon in the year 586 BC. So now you have the 10 northern tribes of Israel taken away as captives to Assyria, which had since become part of Babylon, and you have the southern kingdom of Judah now taken as captives to Babylon. The land of Israel no longer had Israelites dwelling in it, and for the most part was left desolate. And there's a very specific reason for this. That is, other than the fact that both Israel and Judah had been living wickedly and deserved the punishment from God, there was another reason for what happened. God had given a very specific command that the Israelites were supposed to work the land, planting and harvesting for 6 years, but when the seventh year came around, they were supposed to let the land rest and give it a Sabbath, a year of rest. They could eat the crops that grew naturally that year, but they weren't supposed to work the land at all. It was to have a Sabbath, a year of rest every seventh year. God said that they would not have to worry about not having enough crops the seventh year because he would provide double the amount of the crops the sixth year. However, the Israelites never followed this command of God's to let the land have a year of rest every seventh year. In fact, 490 years had gone by and not once had they obeyed God and given the land a Sabbath. Therefore, God spoke through the prophets and said that once Judah was taken captive to Babylon, they would be held as captives in that foreign land in Babylon for 70 years in order to make up for all the years they didn't give the land a rest. 70 Sabbath years had come and passed, and they had not given the land rest or trusted God. And so God decided to remove them from the land for exactly 70 years for that reason. And as you continue to read to the end of 2 Chronicles in the Bible, it tells us that once the 70 years were completed, God caused the empire of Medo-Persia to defeat the Babylonians and then caused their king to give a decree that the Israelites were free to return to their homeland. So, just like God said, the Israelites were captive for exactly 70 years before they were allowed to return back to Israel. And since Babylon had previously defeated Assyria and the northern tribes were absorbed by Babylon at that time, the Israelites who returned to the land of Israel were most likely a mix of both of people from both the northern and the southern kingdom. The Old Testament then gives us a brief history of what took place in the land of Israel after the Israelites returned, of how they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem, its walls, and the temple, and then the Old Testament comes to an end. From that point on, there is a period of about 400 years when there weren't any prophets from God to write down his word until the coming of John the Baptist at the beginning of the New Testament. So this basically concludes our brief overview of the divided kingdom. The nation of Israel had three kings over a united kingdom, Saul, David, and Solomon, and then the kingdom divided. Jeroboam took over as king of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, and was the first of 20 kings until God sent the nation of Assyria to come and take them away as captives because of their disobedience. In the southern kingdom, Solomon's son Rehoboam took over as king of Judah and was the first of 20 kings also, all from the family of David, until God sent the nation of Babylon to come and take them away as captives because of their disobedience as well. And they remained captives in Babylon for 70 years before they began to return and settle again in the Promised Land in Israel. Next session, we'll look a little more specifically at the kings and prophets of both the northern and the southern kingdom during this time.